right now.
Now, one place to start is Sirius Financial Report. Look, I am not interested in punishing banks. I'm interested in protecting our economy. A strong, healthy financial market makes it possible for businesses to access credit and create new jobs. It channels the savings of families into investments that raise incomes. But that can only happen if we guard against the same recklessness that nearly brought down our entire economy. We need to make sure consumers and middle-class families have the information they need to make financial decisions. We can't allow financial institutions, including those that take your deposits, to take risks that threaten the whole economy.
All right, President Obama trying to find the words, as you can tell. He was talking about the bank bailout and obviously the finance reform wrapped into that, key parts of Obama's speech and the State of the Union address. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. From the left corner to the right corner to everywhere in between, we're here for you. You can react, giving the president a grade on what you saw in the State of the Union address if you happened to catch it. Pretty much what we were previewing the day before, jobs, the frustrations that we can feel across the nation that is we hear on talk shows like this one and many other talk shows and some of the cable offerings as well, the populist opinion. I think that the idea behind the State of the Union address was to absolutely mirror what was happening across the country. The feelings of people and the frustrations over health care reform, over the ridiculous bank bailouts, and then the massive laughter on Wall Street when they were dancing with glee with those huge bonuses after taking the taxpayers' money, and then ultimately the payback, and where does that money come from, and where is it going? So a big chunk of that speech was absolutely dedicated to it. I found it to be, I said this if you didn't hear our previous hour, I'm going to say it again, my grade would be kind of like what I got at the tail end of grade school, either a satisfactory or an unsatisfactory, and I found it to be unsatisfactory because it sounded good. It's if I was listening to this speech somewhere else and I heard some of the broad strokes, the broad ideas of what needed to be changed, of, oh, it's my fault and I'm willing to take some of the responsibility and all that sort of stuff and moving forward, it sounds good. But the problem is, on the specific points, how much will it really help when we are drowning in the deficit, the ridiculous deficit we are, including even the spending freeze? How far will the spending freeze go to making a dent in the deficit? The Republican response to the speech was interesting because some of the policies, some of the things that were thrown out there, and then now this new hatchet job, the response was from Virginia Governor Bob McDonnell, who says the policies are causing too much debt. And that's the thing. There's been so much spending at this point. And there's so many people that have lost their jobs just in this past year, over 3 million people. We continue to pound that debt on the future. I don't see it spiraling out of control. I don't see how we ever, ever get back. So in the State of the Union, while some of the things that were addressed sounded good, the economic stimulus package, for example, that was enacted last year, didn't really do enough to increase employment. That was a problem. And then these tax cuts that are going to expire next year for families that are making more than $250,000 a year. But yet at the same time, the people making less than $250,000 a year have no guarantees, as they're hearing they're not going to have taxes increased. That subject is danced around. So in terms of listening to what he had to say, it sounds good. But actions, baby, speak louder than words. So I heard a similar speech back in, February of last year. So now we have this focus on the economy. So are there going to be more, nope, we're not going to spend. Are we going to have more bailouts, or is there going to be, nope, we're not bailing anyone else out? Or are we going to have more big government get in the way, and is the national debt going to continue to click up as a result of what's happened in the last year, and even you could go back before that, the last year before that, which of course wasn't his administration, but the economic stimulus, which was supposed to be the be and all of all of this, certainly wasn't that. And on education, I would say that I would give him a pretty high grade. I think some of what he said about education, I would agree with. As more of the focus needs to be on what the future is and helping people with those student debts that make sense with the Pell Grants, et cetera, extending that, giving more, that completely makes sense to me as well. And, of course, on the situation with the war, as the Virginia response was, the Virginia governor's response was, really, that wasn't a big factor, I don't think, on national defense, because he already sent the additional troops to Afghanistan, and, you know, there's nothing much to say there other than the handling of terrorists and how this Nigerian man, we keep going back to the Christmas Day would-be bombing, Abdullah Matala, that wasn't really addressed, except for to say we're getting these terrorists, and which is very vague because we don't know how many people have been killed from Al-Qaeda ranks through drones, etc. So I think that was another thing that was kind of glossed over. And why, oh why, do we give a guy like the Nigerian 23-year-old the same legal rights as a U.S. citizen, and then he shuts up, he stops giving the information he was giving because he lawyered up? A big, big, big mistake. Terrorists need to be tried in military courts, not civilian ones. And that was something that was kind of woven in to the address when Obama talked about how many of the bad guys, if you will, we've gotten so far. All right, those are just a few thoughts off the cuff right here from the get-go. I want to get your thoughts as well. 800-259-5791. And, oh, don't forget, so hang on to those thoughts. Coming up next, we're going to take a little break and lighten the load as we have Harry Rinker, the collector of things, joining us to talk about a collectible. So perhaps you have some presidential autographs stacked up and pictures of the presidents with you. How much is it worth? He's the kind of guy who can tell you that sort of thing. Stay with us.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Heart and Body Extract has a 23-year proven track record of using certified organic herbs that make up an excellent formula to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. In as little as 2 weeks, you can feel amazing results when your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to HBExtra.com.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident that the financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the cold hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? For a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster, subscribe now at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. Experience the difference. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain investment advice tailored just for you. Don't wait another minute. Subscribe today at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. That's 877-479-8178.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-dry guy, the best you can buy.
Wow, I like this rendition of I'm Just Wild About Harry. We certainly are, and we haven't spoken to him in a while. It's always a pleasure to have him on the show. Remember, if you collect anything, whatever it is, I don't care if it's salt and pepper shakers, I don't care if it's something related to presidential memorabilia, like we had the State of the Union address that we're dissecting throughout this show. A lot of people collect campaign things and presidential things and whatnot. You can certainly call Harry, but you have to do it as fast as you can. Let your fingers do the walking ASAP. Don't dawdle. It'll be too late. It'll already be off the air. So 800-259-5791. I'll say it again, 800-259-5791. Harry, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. You've been a little cold to me since the Yankees beat the Phillies in the World Series, I have to confess.
That's right, because you and several other members of the audience threw it in my face about my poor Phillies going down in flames to your Yankees.
That's okay. You did already a year ago, or 2 years ago.
That's right. And you know what? I have memorabilia from that. I have the paper. I've got the postcard. My mother got me the, now they do those like postcard things where they have the stamp.
Yeah.
I've got that. And it's just for me to pass on or whatever, but that's memorabilia.
Well,
it does count.
Sports memorabilia is hot. I mean, you've got a lot of the issues involving fake signatures and stuff, and clearly the autograph material and some of the others has to be out there, but the stuff that's good, is selling very well right now. I mean, what's happened is you've got these sports auctions like Legendary Auctions in Chicago and Heritage Galleries in Texas that are just driving that stuff right through the roof.
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, did you hear that story? I have to bring this up to you right away. The ripped Picasso painting.
Yeah, you know, I was just happened to be walking by the Mona Lisa and tripped and fell and put my nose through the middle of her beak or something. I don't know. Yeah, it's a little strange.
No kidding. And I thought about this is so weird because at the Kimball Art Museum, they have the only Michelangelo in the country. It was a painting that he painted when he was a kid. And they've got an armed guard, Harry, standing right by it. And they have it roped off so you can't get too close to the painting. And I was thinking, boy, I hope this doesn't set some kind of a precedent with people falling into paintings.
Accidents will happen. And first of all, we have some of the finest training art conservators in the United States, and it'll be repaired. And it won't be the first historic painting that ever will be repaired. And, you know, even though, and since the painting is a museum, there's no sense talking about its value because the museum will never sell it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they're going to get it repaired and done. I mean, in Winterthur, Delaware, at the Henry Francis DuPont Winterthur Museum, they have a huge conservation school where they train conservators. Now, conservators are very different than these guys who just restore stuff to make it look like it's brand new. These are people that hold degrees in art history as well as chemistry and go through rigorous apprenticeships. And as a result, they and others trained around the world like them do some of the finest work out there. So something like this is a tragedy, truly. I mean, you know, it's something you wish could have been avoided, but it can easily be fixed. You know, when there's art theft, I'm doing a lot of you knows here tonight, when there's art theft, unfortunately what a lot of robbers do is cut the picture out of the frame. And that often does some serious damage to things, but when they recover them, they can put them back together again. And, you know, to the untrained eye, you never know the difference.
Wow. That's interesting. I wonder, remember there was another incident. It was Steve Wynn who did something to one of his private collection paintings. He was showing somebody the paintings, and
yep.
He accidentally scraped it, too, did the same thing, got a little tear in it. Boy, now there, when you're talking about a private collection, they can't be thrilled with that. It's different, like you say, when it's hanging in a museum.
No, they're unfortunately thinking about the paintings in terms of money and value, and there it's a little bit riskier. I just did an appraisal clinic last weekend up in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, and I have to tell you, person had a painting, not a real valuable painting, but signed and dated 1870 something, and it needed some restoration work, and he gave it to a friend who said, "Oh, I went to art school, I can restore it for you." And some of the paint was coming off the campus. Well, what the guy did was take a picture, and then all the loose paint he just took off and he repainted it back in, including the artist's signature. And when you raked it in the light, you could see where all the old painting had been removed and the new in painting done. And I just told the guy it totally wrecked the painting. I mean, this is one of those things. There's no licensing of people out there. Even conservators aren't licensed. They do have a National Conservancy group that they belong to, and that's where you look to get the names of the good ones. But, you know, you want to go in the furniture repair business, the paint repair business, you just go down and buy a can of stripper and a brush, and you're in business.
Yeah, no kidding.
And this is what people have to watch out for, actually, when they're out there.
It brings up a good point, though. In collecting things, and I've had a lot of people ask me this question since the years now, because I think you've been coming on shows with me for, has it been 2 years? I bet it's been 2 years.
Well, it's been on America Tonight?
Yeah, I bet it's been 2 years on America Tonight.
2 years? It's been at least
3 years.
Three or four years.
Well,
over 3 years, because what you got, my nationally syndicated radio show is going to be having its fourth anniversary in March.
Wow. So, yeah, so it's been at least that long. I've had people pepper me with these questions. I even got an email from somebody asking when you were going to be on again, because it's been a while, and they wanted to know.
Well, we're going to go back to a pattern, Kate. We're going to be on the second and fourth Tuesday of every month at this time.
Right, so everybody get your questions ready,
right,
and then Thursday, you know you
second
can...
Second and fourth Thursday, I'm sorry, very
right.
Month of this time, right.
Second and fourth, so get your questions ready, you know when Harry's going to be on now, and we'll make sure that we promo that so everybody realizes it. But I had a question from somebody. They asked about how do you preserve, like they apparently had, and you talked about sports memorabilia. I think even the last time you were on, we had a little tiny segment on that. But they asked about signed footballs and how you preserve them. What would you put them in?
Yeah, well, one thing you don't want to do is buy any of these plastic-mounted units. In fact, one of the tragedies in Wilkes-Barre, again, was somebody brought in an autographed ball that they'd wrapped up in plastic.
Mm.
And there was a while in the 70s where the ballpoint ink faded if you weren't real careful with it. And plastic could deteriorate, and the signatures just faded off the ball.
Oh.
I know. You know, the phrase in my field is chemically inert. And a lot of the people just go out, they buy these ball holders, they buy these display things, and they never ask, are they chemically inert? Are they sealed so tight that if moisture gets in there, it can damage it? Usually, if you're going to do a signature signed ball or something like that. Just a nice stand out in the open, away from direct sunlight, with very little dusting or anything is probably the best way to display it. Or if you're going to put it in a drawer, take some white tissue paper, the kind that comes when you buy a shirt or a blouse or something, and wrap it up in that so that it can breathe. Of course, what fun is it if you don't display it?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. What you just answered the question, what fun is it if you can't show it off to your friends, I guess.
Well, that's the whole thing about it. I don't know if you know or not, but I'm in the process of selling my school in Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. I have to pack up 50,000 objects and get rid of them. And it's a mentally challenging problem.
Yeah, boy, no kidding, because you have to figure out what you're doing with all this stuff, right?
I'm at the point where I have to figure out what I'm going to keep and what I have to get tossed and what I have to sell. Yeah, it's a dilemma.
And so you actually will toss some of it then? You won't sell? They're just things you just don't think you can sell? You'll donate?
No, most of what I have will go to sale at one form or another.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Right now I'm in denial and just packing it up in boxes. But it's hard to go from 14,000 square feet to 2,500 square feet in any kind of logical order.
Yeah, boy, no kidding. All right, Harry, we're going to tell everybody you're going to be back again on the second Thursday.
Well, we'll be back on the second Tuesday of February. Second Thursday of February. By the way, if you have a question, you can email me at Harry L. Rinker, HarryLRinker at AOL.com. Start your question. I listen to you on American Tonight, and we'll talk about it when I come back.
Sounds like a great idea, great plan. And good luck with those 50,000 collectibles there in that schoolhouse.
Okie doke.
Thanks, Harry. Remember, you can definitely do what Harry suggested with the mailbag. And if you send him a photograph of it, it's an excellent idea, because he's such a massive resource. He's got a book out that's in the Smithsonian about collectibles with toys. I think I've talked about that. And a slew of other books. One of his books is Sell, Keep, or Toss. With so many people downsizing or trying to find ways to make some more money, they're getting rid of stuff in their house. And, of course, you want to know what it's worth and whether or not it's worth selling it and where you can sell it. And he's got some great suggestions in that book. I have a copy of it, and I just reread parts of it the other day and realized I had some stuff that I was getting rid of, and you probably are all in that same situation. You're not getting rid of us just yet. We're diving back into the State of the Union Address. Plus, at the end of the hour, Bad Boys and the iPad. We'll talk about it. Stay with us.
Hello. At OfTheField.com, we strive to empower you with wild food preparedness. We get lots of amazing positive feedback, most of which we feature on OfTheField.com. Here's a small sample of all that people like you have to say about the wild food experience.
As a homesteader attempting to live sustainably, I was floored by the amount of information in this book.
Dear Linda, I would be hard-pressed to express how much you have impacted my life.
I'm amazed by the wealth of the author's knowledge and the depth of the coverage in this book.
As we see more and more GMO foods on the shelves, this information is good to know.
I am thankful to God for you, Linda.
I can't say enough about this book.
Blessings to you and your family.
The greatest of effect this book has had on me and my family is that we truly see Earth's bounty everywhere.
Folks, thanks for letting us help you get back to basics. Read all of the testimonials at ofthefield.com. You can order online for you and your loved ones, or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE to share in the secret.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you, too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
We all need to prepare ourselves. You might have the food, water, gold, and silver, but ask yourself, are you truly prepared? That's why you need to visit MaineMilitary.com. MaineMilitary.com carries everything you need. Gas masks, wool blankets, fire starter kits, high-capacity magazines, chemical suits, military surplus items, and much more. Do you own a firearm? MaineMilitary.com has a large selection of pistols and rifles suited for your needs. Are your local stores sold out of ammunition? Call or visit them today for prices on hard-to-find ammo and bulk ammo orders. You don't need to worry about having a military surplus store in your area, because MaineMilitary.com is the only store you'll ever need, all from the comfort of your computer. Visit them online today at MaineMilitary.com. That's Maine, like the state, military.com. Or call them at 1-877-608-0179. That's 1-877-608-0179.
Thomas Jefferson once said, "When the people fear their government, there is tyranny. When the government fears the people, there is liberty." Our God-given right to life and liberty, and the right to determine what is best for our lives and our families' health, are in jeopardy. If we the people do not diligently assert these rights, they may be taken away and lost forever. Utopia Silver is known for fighting for health freedom, and we will not meekly allow ourselves to be led as lambs to the slaughter. Sitting passively by and accepting the chains of slavery that are being placed on America is not an option. Please stand with Utopia Silver in this fight. Utopia Silver carries some of the most effective colloidal silver products on the market and numerous other high-quality health supplements. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's U-T-O-P-I-A, utopiasilver.com. Or call us today at 1-888-213-4338. 1-888-213-4338.
One thing that has unified Democrats and Republicans, and everybody in between, is that we all hated the bank bailout. I hated it. I hated it. I hated it. You hated it. It was about as popular as a root canal. But when I ran for president, I promised I wouldn't just do what was popular. I would do what was necessary. And if we had allowed the meltdown of the financial system, unemployment might be double what it is today. More businesses would certainly have closed. More homes would have surely been lost. So I supported the last administration's efforts to create the financial rescue program. And when we took that program over, we made it more transparent and more accountable. And as a result, the markets are now stabilized, and we've recovered most of the money we spent on the banks. Most, but not all. To recover the rest, I proposed a fee on the biggest banks. Now, I know Wall Street isn't keen on this idea, but if these firms can afford to hand out big bonuses again, they can afford a modest fee to pay back the taxpayers who rescued them in their time of need.
All right, will the president get any kind of a bounce in the polls from his State of the Union address, and what kind of a grade would you give him? Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight, the name of the show. If you just tuned in and you're cruising somewhere around the country and you're getting a bounce somewhere off of some tower into a radio station nearby, 800-259-5791, that's the number to call. Or if you're stuck in the middle of a shift somewhere and you have a few minutes and you want to just send me a email message, you can do that at americatonight.net, americatonight.net. All right, so here's the thing. In the State of the Union address, I think he was trying to come off pretty much as a regular Joe, and you heard the comment there. I hated it. I hated the bailout. It's as bad as a root canal. There were parts of the speech that had language weaved into it, most of it centering around, let's face it, the economy. I think the speech was a tough sell probably for any of us after a year of things that didn't happen. And because of the surprising loss for the Democrats in Massachusetts in that special election, I think that the idea heading into the State of the Union was to be the guy who could unite himself with the everyday American. And so perhaps language-wise he was able to do that, but there were some broad strokes and then a few little nuggets that were thrown in between that I think are going to be tough to deliver and some that just don't go far enough, certainly. And they're reeling. They're reeling at this point looking for answers. The president needed to reassure the country that we're headed in the right direction, but also figure out a way to say to the Democrats in Congress that, hey, we're going to be okay as a party. That was part of what had to happen. So certainly a speech can't make jobs appear overnight. Only the actual action of it. That's the deal here. What worked on the campaign trail, it was easy to beat up, wow, we don't want the same, 8 more years of the same. It was easy to beat up on the guys in the White House, which is what most of the candidates will do, and unless it's their own team, and say that we're going to go in a different direction and have all of those speeches of hope and change and, you know, we're not going to take a hatchet to the programs. But now that he's president, the reality is set in, and he is taking a hatchet to programs because of the 3-year spending freeze. That was one of the things that was thrown out there as a specific that was going to happen with here in the United States. We're going to have a spending freeze on programs basically not related to the military, so government programs. But on other things like promises for small business, can he really deliver on that? So will we really save $250 billion by freezing all non-security federal discretionary spending for 3 years? And that's kind of like throwing a deck chair off the Titanic, I guess. I guess it would help that some money at least would be, there'd be discipline. There wouldn't be all the spending, and only the departments that would be exempt would only be Homeland Security, Veteran Affairs. Of course, Veteran Affairs, they get those body scanners. They'll need $1 trillion anyway. And some international programs, I guess. Now, there were no specifics revealed on what programs would be cut. None of them. Because somebody is not going to like what programs are cut. Whether it's something to do with education or health spending or whatever. If any of those are on the chopping block, you could be sure there was no reason that he was going to announce this. And will this, you know, telling the American people kind of, I feel your pain, will this translate into, as I said, a bounce in the polls and a bounce in people feeling as though Obama can turn things around after a rough year? And the Al-Qaeda stuff, that was addressed somewhat. You didn't hear terror weaved in there, but just that, you know, enemies were destroyed and those in Al-Qaeda with the drones and whatever. But we just don't know how much that rings true, because there is no official count on how many people have been killed since President Obama took office. I guess in this speech, I would say he probably rallied the support of the base, most likely, And then I think there's a chance that he left a lot of us feeling like he's not really an effective leader. And I believe in the speech he was trying to come across as an effective leader, and I say he fell short. You may disagree with that. Do you think Barack Obama is an effective leader? I said this last week. I think he knows he's not going to get another 4 years and something, unless something dramatically different happens in this country in the next 3 years. I don't see him as a two-term president. Do you? 800-259-5791. 800-259-5791. Now, quickly, too, there were other things that happened, believe it or not. It wasn't all about the State of the Union. There were other things that happened in D.C. and outside of D.C. Not everything happens in the Beltway. But one of my favorite moments has to be what happened with Tim Geithner. Tim Geithner tried desperately to defend himself when it came to AIG. And, of course, there a lot of politicians, a lot of Americans feel there's some shady dealings going on there. What were some of the things that happened? And he tried to defend himself, like I said, against a barrage of attacks from the Democrats and the Republicans. Here's a little of what that sounded like.
Fair to the public servants.
What's not true?
What you just said.
What's not what? What is
true? It is not true that the actions we took in AIG were for the benefit of anybody but the millions of Americans who at that point were suffering from the worst financial crisis since the Great Depression. The only way to help reduce that damage, protect that damage, was to fix the system and prevent catastrophic failure that would have made that crisis worse.
You had no knowledge of any cover-up, right? Or intent not to give full information and disclosure?
Of course not.
Of course not. So you took credit for the decision, but not the cover-up.
No.
You've distanced yourself from any cover-up before November 24th, and then, of course, you were out of the picture from November 24th forward. Is that correct?
Congressman, I'm not trying to distance myself from anything. I will take complete responsibility for decisions I was played a role in shaping, was part of shaping, including all decisions up to the 24th on this case. And I'm happy to take responsibility for all decisions I've made.
Then you were aware of 100 cents on a dollar bailout.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And the risk that was posed by that offer. So you knew about that, but you weren't attempting to cover up. That's your testimony.
Of course not.
Today. Okay. So I believe either you made a bad decision there, or, in fact, there was the attempt to cover up one of the biggest bailouts, backdoor bailouts, in history.
All right, I think it was a backdoor bailout myself. It was a great way to frame that. And Tim Geithner did what he could to backpedal, I think, on some of the issues. Bottom line to me is it was definitely obvious that Obama was trying to win over small businesses and the economy and joblessness, and that there's this deficit of trust, particularly when it comes to that. He's going to shift $30 billion from TARP to community banks, specifically saying that, and that the banks would have to be able to lend to small businesses. So I think this was part and parcel and answer to a nation that is fatigued over the bailouts and what has happened now to our economy. But will any of this actually work? 800-259-5791. Daily Salute is next.
Our economy is in great distress. The financial dominoes can fall at any time. It's time to stop hoping it doesn't happen and prepare just in case it does. You have auto and home insurance. Why wouldn't you have food insurance? Are you prepared to feed your family long term? Because it might take years to recover. As the adult, it's your responsibility to feed your family, especially during rough times. SurvivalistSeeds.com is offering a package that will give you a 3-acre heirloom vegetable garden anywhere. 50 heirloom varieties, 8,000 vegetable seeds, over 5 pounds of healthy food. Don't be fooled by marketing companies disguised as patriots. SurvivalistSeeds.com is owned by Big John Lipscomb, host of Don't Tread on Me radio show.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com. Or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
A revolution in smoking is underway, a revolution all smokers of traditional cigarettes should know about. Keep listening for a special offer from PowerVapor.com. Standard tobacco cigarettes contain over 4,000 harmful chemicals. Now it's time to release yourself from the grip of big tobacco and experience true smoking freedom. PowerVapor.com is an e-cigarette with the look, feel, and smoke of a real cigarette, but with no tar, no carbon monoxide, and no bad odors. Power Vapor's e-cigarettes deliver just the right amount of nicotine in a water vapor that looks and feels like real smoke. Yes, you choose from four levels of nicotine, and that puts you back in control. Plus, you'll enjoy eight flavors and big savings over traditional cigarettes. Get the facts and see our demonstration video at PowerVapor.com. That's PowerVapor.com. Log on to PowerVapor.com right now for a special 10% discount and 30-day money-back guarantee. PowerVapor.com, the smoking gun heard round the world.
All right, I promise Bad Boys. It'd be so easy to just throw the president and his minions into that file, wouldn't it, after the State of the Union address, but that's just too easy. So we're going to move instead to the sporting arena instead of politics. Gilbert Arenas and Javarius Crittenden both made a mistake when they brought their guns to work. So the Washington Wizards guards are actually the first players to violate the NBA rules that doesn't allow firearms on team property. And Commissioner David Stern suspended both without pay for the remainder of the season. Quite a statement from David Stern, eh? I also promised that I would deliver a daily salute. We need something good, right? It can't be all pounding you with the negative. So here's the good thing that happened. Can you imagine that it's been how long since the earthquake in Haiti? Could it be that somebody would still be alive since that January 12th 7.0 earthquake rocked that country? They found a 16-year-old girl. She was in poor condition but stable. One of her legs might have been broken. It took 45 minutes, but they got her out from underneath the debris. They transported her in a helicopter to a French medical ship. They found the girl after a group of Haitians approached the French embassy in Port-au-Prince and said they could hear a voice in the rubble. So the rescuers frantically followed them to the site, made contact with the girl. She naturally was dehydrated. She was weak. She had low blood pressure. And she'd been buried there for 15 days. 15 days. And here's the thing. She had access, I guess, to water. That's where she was. She was in the bathroom of her house. So that might have been enough to just to keep her alive. Boy, let's hope that she survives that. But that's incredible. Yeah, that is a daily salute. Look for those people, those Haitians. hearing the low whispers, running to get the rescuers. That's great. That's all good stuff, honestly. Yep. All right, let's go to Mark, who's listening to us in New York. We've been talking about the State of the Union address. I imagine he wants to get his choppers into this one. Hey, Mark.
Oh, thanks for taking my call. Long-time listener, first-time call.
You're so funny.
Oh, no, Kate, you know me. I watched that, and you know me. I always look for things I didn't hear. Well, I go, and I'm not even kidding. Tonight, I'm not going to try to make anybody laugh.
Right.
But I was never a fan of Kennedy, even back when he was drinking. You know how far that is, and that's not even a joke, okay? You know
right.
when he was drinking before
right.
he stopped. Well, Barack Obama, who I'm talking to right now, when you're walking in, you're shaking all your friends and hugging all your friends, walk straight in next time, or it's too late now, pal. And whatever issues we have politically, why don't you at least let everybody clap once more for Ted Kennedy for filling that seat for so long? And you could have joked and said, Teddy, I tried for you. Okay? You know something, Obama? It doesn't take much to be a man. Okay? Now that that's over with, okay. One thing came to mind after I saw Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid, mm-hmm. and was the word formaldehyde. You know, Kate, they all got to go. And, mm-hmm. Hey, Al Franken, you'll never be a senator, okay, pal? And where was your pal, the cellar dweller? And you think they would at least have respect for Byrd and wheeled him in? No. What are they? Formaldic monsters, I call them. And let me ask you something, honey. I am not the best-looking guy in the crew, believe me. Sometimes even starving dogs will run away from me. But Napolitano, what is that?
Boy, Napolitano, I won't even touch the look thing. It's not so much that. I don't care what she looks like.
Either.
It's that she is not qualified, I think, to be the director of Homeland Security. She should
not be in that position. I mean, she's not there.
Meaning why
she's not even there.
She's
fake.
Yeah, yeah.
It's weird. They're all monsters down there. They all got to go.
Right. Yeah.
They all got to go.
They all have to go.
Yeah, hey, Obama, you threw your dead friend under the bus. Nice. You couldn't thank him. Your number one supporter, which knocked Hillary Clinton out of the race. We know that, Kate. You could have at least did that for him, regardless of how I feel about him. Okay, you know that, Kate. We fight nice.
There you go. What a good way to end that
call.
Threw his
friend under the bus, Kate.
That's right. We fight nice. I agree with you. Nice pays off. It's interesting. You could tell Mark was frustrated like everybody else about this. It's the same old faces. That's what he means, absolutely. And the formaldehyde reference was actually pretty funny in looking at Harry Reid, who I can't imagine is going to be reelected anyway, and certainly Pelosi would be treading a thin line in any other place but where she happens to be from in that San Francisco area. But, you know, what was interesting in talking about Napolitano, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton missed Obama's State of the Union address, and the reason was she was at a conference in London, but she wasn't the only missing cabinet member. There were a couple of others as well. The Housing and Urban Development Secretary, Sean Donovan, was designated by the White House to ride out the speech in an undisclosed location. How about this? As a precaution against the possibility of a catastrophe wiping out the rest of government leadership. Mm. And Clinton became aware that her trip to London for separate conferences on Yemen and Afghanistan would coincide with the State of the Union address, and her aides went to the White House about it, and they told her to just do what she was doing, that it was more important for her to go to London. So the question isn't about who's absent, but, you know, he talked about the deficit of trust, but who's to blame? I mean, who do you think is to blame for the so-called deficit of trust? The deal is, in the NBC, I think, Wall Street Journal poll really shows where most of us are at. Americans, period, are just fed up with Washington. I mean, fed up with Washington. You have 70% of people saying that government just isn't working well. Obama's approval is now back at 50%. But that's not a good signal. 70 is a very high number. That means, you know, because you think of the possible miscues, but only 28% think that the feds are doing a good job or they're even okay, versus 7 in 10 who think it's unhealthy, stagnant, or needs large reforms. Let me give you a little comparison. In December of 2000, during the height of the Bush-Gore presidential election, 55% said the government was working well or okay. Here's another scary number. A whopping 93% think that there's too much partisan infighting. 84% think the special interests have too much influence over legislation. And about three-quarters of us say that not enough, according to this poll, has been done to regulate Wall Street and the banking industry. And then another 61%, let's throw some more on the fire, complain that both Democrats and Republicans in Congress aren't willing to compromise. Oof. I mean, those are tough, tough numbers. And that is a clear message that's being sent. It says, we do not like, we cannot stand, in the words of Mark in New York, we absolutely hate what's happening in Washington. And I think a lot of people are going to find themselves replaced with challengers when we see these elections come up, unless something incredible happens in the interim, and it's not a lot of time. And this has been building for a while, and now it's at a crescendo point. And Scott Brown was a clear clue that the idea for change is happening and is going to happen when people run for re-election. Because Scott Brown, a decade ago, never, ever, or even a couple of years ago, never would have happened. You would have never seen a Republican, let alone an unknown one, get elected in the very liberal state of Massachusetts. So tough times for those who make a living politically, but I think it's a great time for America. It's time for us to take back Washington, and you can feel that movement big time.
I have never been more hopeful about America's future than I am tonight.